Today's episode of The Instance is brought to you by our friends at Doghouse Systems at doghousesystems.com. Still building the best gaming rigs money can buy. Sure, you could build your own PC, but for not much more, you could have real professionals do it, get a great warranty, and right now get a great deal. If you use the Frog Pants code, Doghouse Systems will throw in a 240 gigabyte SSD with your order. That's on top of whatever other drive you have in there. A free 240 gigabyte SSD with any system purchase at Doghouse Systems right now at doghousesystems.com with the code FROGPANTS.
You are listening to The Instance.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance, episode 477. I'm Scott Johnson with Patrick Beja in France. Hello, Patrick.
Oh, hello. Hey.
Hi.
Sorry, I wasn't listening to another show to make sure it was published correctly. Absolutely not. I was full on listening to Scott Johnson
sure.
on The Instance.
We just finished up, polished off an episode of The Pixels, which I really enjoyed. So thanks for having me on that. People want to check that out. You should go to frenchspin.com. It'll be there. When you post that.
Oh, it's posted just now. All I mean, it was posted a while ago before we started doing the show because I'm professional and I don't do two things at once.
Sure.
Oh, hey, yeah. Distraction. Here's no. Dills.
Oh, look, everybody. It's a wild Dills appears from all the way in over there in the balmy deserts of Austin, Texas. Hello, Dills. What's going on?
It is not balmy and it does not feel like a desert right now, Scott.
No. It's cold.
It is cold, man.
Everywhere's cold.
I'm like every morning I'm hating walking the dog, and I'm usually one of my favorite things to do.
Yeah, but it's usually a relaxing.
I actually have to put clothes on now to go do it.
It's 11 Fahrenheit here in Salt Lake City, and I had to take the dog this morning, and she didn't want to do it either. I got to get her some little booties or something, man.
I have a cool little. It's like a flight jacket type of thing for Iggy, and he really likes wearing that. He actually likes to just keep it on in the house. Mm. He gets kind of mad at me when I take it off of him. I think it makes him feel cool, but that's a quick thing for him. But I gotta put like shoes on, a jacket, a hat, the whole production.
He's got good, warm, big, padded dog feet. My dog's little pokey feet are she's just constantly tap dancing in the snow because she's freezing, and I'm like just poo and pee, and we can get out of here.
See, no, I moved to Texas, so I could never wear pants or shoes again. That was the thought.
That was the idea.
Yeah, and now here, like, I was lied to, man.
Yeah, it's all pants
all the time.
For the
dog, though, I mean, imagine, even if you were furry, I mean, I have a certain amount of foliage, kind of, myself.
I'm slightly
but
furry.
But with the temperatures that you get, if you put me out in, like, the snow and tell me, dude, just pee and poo, you'll be fine. I don't think I could do it. It's way too cold. So
just some guy shoves you out into the world and starts yelling at you to go potty. Yeah. It's a confusing thing, I'm sure.
Yeah. And by the way, I'm glad to hear I'm not the only grown adult whose words to their dog is go potty.
It's go potty.
Yeah. Because it makes me feel slightly less manly.
Yelling that into a microphone while he's like sitting right next to me. Yeah. He's already gone today, but he might think it's time to go again.
Hey, dog, don't poo right now. We got a show to do. So we're back. Terpster will be joining us toward the end of the podcast.
It's a great product.
Yeah, it's a pretty good product. It's going to be huge.
Product.
I make great products. It's going to be him off the train. He's got to get off a train. So that's why he's not here. And got a few things to talk about. This is the first episode of 2017. And Blizzard games are in full effect. Let's just dive in and see what we got. All right, so you have till the 9th of this fine month of January, 2017, to kill the Cow King.
That's only 3 days.
It's true. That is only 3 days.
Yeah.
And as
get on this.
If you're not aware of what this is, it's all part of the 20th anniversary of Diablo. Every Blizzard game has something happening in it. The event in WoW is maybe my favorite in terms of creativity, though I have not actually done it yet. I'm going to try to do it tonight. Anyway, if you complete the Legion dungeons They'll spawn a naughty or a legion. Is it all of them? I guess you have to do all of them or one of them.
No, it's, I think it's one, but it might have to be a heroic. I'm not sure. But it's when you do one at the end of it, I think there's a high chance, if not certainty, that a treasure goblin is going to pop up.
Yeah. So you get a goblin, defeating him will reward some loot and open a portal to a place that has long been rumored to exist. The infamous cow level. Killing the Cow King will require a unique toy and a feat of strength. Slaughter enough goblins and you'll be able to complete the Tome of Town Portal toy or get it. And collect a 28-slot Heradric Satchel, which is just basically a bag. Here's the thing I was going to say, though, that I like about this. It's the perfect place to do a Diablo event that deals with the cow level because Taurens are straight-up cows. So it's like kind of rad that they made this event, but also kind of easy because... Taurens, you know what I mean? Like, here's some Taurens to kill.
I haven't actually played through the cow level yet. Is it like the older cows are just Taurens that you kill?
Yeah, it's just Taurens walking around.
Okay. I thought it was going to be like actual cows.
No.
Well, they're hell bovine or whatever, aren't they?
Yeah.
In the actual game.
Correct.
That's what they had. Like, so in Hearthstone, that's what they are. They're like special hell. But I, you know, it does make sense. Like World of Warcraft creating brand new models.
Yeah, they're not going to do that.
A one-week-long event.
No. It's perfect. But they did put the... Perfect. I mean, it's the hell bovine horn, so they look like cows. There's no udders, really, to deal with, which is that's frustrating. I'd like a good udder to whack at with my sword. But generally speaking, maybe in terms of on paper, anyway, this is my favorite of the events. The others range from kind of lackluster to kind of cool. We'll get to those in a minute, but... Yeah, I'm curious what people think of that. I mean, it's a way to celebrate the 20-year anniversary of Diablo without an actual new Diablo game, which I'll bet was not the plan. This is total conjecture, but I'll bet if you could go back in time 2-3 years, I'll bet there was a plan in some measure of cement that said, hey, brand new Diablo game at the 20-year anniversary would be pretty rad, don't you guys think? And they all agreed in some meeting. I don't know where it may have gone from there, or why it derailed, or why it never happened, or why there's not even an expansion ready for the 20-year. So they make up for it with this kind of weird cross-game thing. But I don't know. It feels like a missed opportunity slightly. 20 years is a big deal. Might have been fun to release a game 20 years into it.
Yeah, but you know how Blizzard works. They're not going to, you know, try and get a game out on a specific time and release it for, even if someone had the idea, I don't think anyone would have said, yeah, we can do that. Everyone would have been like, what? Like, really? Yeah. That's what you think?
Yeah.
No.
That's like, what if the game isn't ready? We're like, well, we just have to put it out anyway because 20 years.
No, you're right. You're totally right. I mean, it would have been if we'd ever gotten it, it would have been more of a happy accident. But I do wish, as much as I'm, and we'll talk about it later, as excited as I am about the Darkening of Tristram, and as fun as I think that actually is, I have played that this week. I still wish the Necromancer would have been the thing for the 20-year deal. I wish that was coming out because I'm selfish and would like to play it. So there's that.
Yeah.
I think that they might have thought, you know what? If we could do it for the anniversary, it would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they would never have tried to hold themselves to it. They always knew it was, it would be cool if it happened, but it probably won't. Right? Right? Mm. Yes. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. And there's no date. I wish we had a date. So at least that, like, come out on the 20th anniversary and go, oh, and by the way, May 15th, you'll get the Necromancer. Because I don't think they've released a date for that thing. And if they have, I haven't heard about it.
They said second half of 2017, I think, which is kind of, ooh, if you're saying
gives
that.
Gives plenty of, leeway on either side of that.
Oh, yeah.
I actually jumped back into Diablo before the event started up just because I got a little sick.
Yeah.
And I got a little sick around like the end of Christmas, and Diablo is like the greatest game when you're sick.
Oh, it's the best.
Because you just don't really think that much. You just go in and you just mash
you
buttons,
click
your mouse.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you collect loot. It's
but
great.
it's still tweaking that, like, you know, endorphin rush of I got a thing and now I can keep going. But you don't really have to think too much, and you can have like Frasier on in the background or something.
Yeah, you can just kind of, you know, zone out and just feel kind of sick and whatever. And you feel like you're just you're engaged in something. You're doing something. Yeah. Because a lot of times the thing I hate about being sick is being laid up and like watching The Price is Right.
Right.
I can't do that anymore. You know, I need to be active.
The great activity of moving your mouse around and clicking a lot is definitely better than just sitting there. Definitely better.
So much better than The
Price. I was so engaged.
Yeah, of course. So anyway, you have till the 9th. So get out there, do it. I don't know that it should take too long. Go do one of the easier dungeons. Do like, confirmed. It does not have to be heroic. It can be normal. Okay,
so it's it's just to give you something to do.
It's to give you a thing to do to go get there. And, you know, it's less work actually than finding the cow level in any of the Diablo games was. So it's actually pretty easy. And then once you're in, I'm trying to think what would be the fastest dungeon. Probably,
You just do like
the first one you get on random dungeon.
Well, that's true. But that's a good point. Yeah. Queuing up random is probably your quickest way in. I just wonder which dungeon itself would go the quickest. And I'm thinking
Violet Hold.
So queue up with a pre-made, go do Violet Hold. I mean, that's how you want to do this anyway. You don't want to see it on your own. I mean, you kind of do, but do it with some friends. You know, go see the cows with buddies is what I would recommend. Nighthold is approaching. Here's the raid schedule for those excited about this. And many have been seeing things on the PTR anyway, so this is probably slightly less exciting for them. But Tuesday, January 17th, Nighthold normal and heroic difficulties open. The 24th, you get Nighthold mythic difficulty and Raid Finder Wing 1. And so that's cool. That's the Arcing Aqueducts opening thing. Let's see, on February 7th, which seems like forever away, but it's not really, Nighthold Raid Finder Wing 2 comes out. Raid Finder Wing 3 happens on the 21st, and on March 7th, they finish things out with Raid Finder Wing 4. That's quite a spread on Raid Finder, but maybe that's how it always is, and I just forget how they do that. But anyway, I guess if you're ready to get your normal and heroic on 17th and mythic on the 24th, for those who are ready for that, and we start hearing about World First and all of that, I'm still sort of in the middle of current raid content to the degree that this sounds like a far-off thing for me. This isn't going to happen for me on the 17th by any stretch. Anybody else looking forward to Nighthold? Patrick, you've been chomping at the bit for more raiding, or have you not been raiding?
Well, no, as we discussed last episode, I haven't really had time for WoW in the past few weeks, so I don't know that raiding is the thing that I will certainly do it, you know, at least in Raid Finder, just to continue the storyline of Suramar, which is the thing that I think has been really, not Suramar specifically, but the storyline has been really good in Legion. So I want to find out more about that town and what's happening there and what Grand Magistrix, what's her face, is up to. So I'm gonna do it. It's just I'm not like, oh my god, I can't wait. I'm not in raiding mode and I don't have like super gear, which means I can't wait to go and get something new because I'm doing it every week.
Right.
So it's not, I'll do it when it's available.
We got an email from somebody that I want to throw at you that says, what do you think of the Suramar questing in Legion? On the whole, take care. Steve Smetzer sent this in. So I'm very curious because I feel like that stuff's grindy with an awesome story, but grindy as shit.
Suramar?
Yeah. So well, so I'm, I don't feel all that motivated sometimes to go to finish that stuff on alts or do anything in there.
No, on alts, definitely not. On alts, it's kind of painful. But we discussed it before. I think on a main character, when you're playing every day, it's the thing you do, and I think it's cool. I like it. I'm not certain it works as well on alts. I agree there.
But
do you think you need to be exalted to do the Nighthold?
That's a good question, isn't it? I don't know.
Because if you do, I don't think I'm exalted yet. I sort of stopped before.
I'm definitely not exalted. Yeah, I'm not exalted either. That's a bit of an attunement. I wasn't aware of if that's true. Dills, do you? What's your current relationship status with Suramar specifically?
I'm not exalted either. I'm like mostly through revered, I think. So
yeah, that's about where I am.
as Warcraft podcasters.
Yeah,
no one's but
I did feel grindy with it. Like I was for a while. I was going every day and turning in mana crystals or whatever to go do the little side world quest thing to increase my reputation and earn some earn some other rewards. I was like doing that every single day. I'd gotten pretty far on that. But after a while, it didn't seem that exciting anymore to run around with my little withered brothers. It was just kind of like another thing that I just felt I had to do. So I just kind of slowly stopped doing that and was doing more and more just PvP and stuff, right? So yeah, it did feel grindy after a time, and it did feel like it was taking a long time to get to Exalted. But that being said, if I needed to, I could probably run in there and like within a week I'd be good to go.
Yeah, it's the big question though, is like how does this stuff? It's just I mean, if we're being honest, it's redressed dailies. This is this expansion's version of that. Last expansion, it was kind of garrison driven. Before that, it was all the stuff you would do with the panda dudes and their stuff every day, which was more like traditional dailies. But really, that's what this is. And at some point, as much as it's fun at first to go, oh, wow, this is a whole different take on dailies. This is way more story driven, blah, blah, blah. At the end of the day, you still have to make this decision. Are you going to grind through what are essentially dailies, or are you going to find that grindy and move on to something else? And for me, it was just a little, I prefer spending my time in the game doing other things than that. So,
well, I mean, I've been having a really good time doing PvP. So, you know, it's like, that's the thing that to me, it's when I log in, it's the thing I'm excited to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never been a guy who's excited to log in and do dailies. Like, never.
It's, you know, like
I check out hubs. I never get the big dragon mount at the end of it or what, you know what I mean? I get to a certain extent to what I need, and then I'm pretty much out.
Yeah. Or then we'll go back later. It's like, you know, when you and I took down Lich King first time with our team, that was an awesome moment, blah, blah, blah. But it took us, I don't know what we were, like another, maybe a year later, we went back to try to get the Drake or something.
Sure.
And that's kind of my mode as well. I'm really glad the game supports that. But I think there's a, I don't know, I put a little pressure on myself sometimes. I'm thinking, well, I should be in there grinding out the thing so I can get the stuff because that's what all my friends are doing. Or, and then I find out, well, they're not really either. They kind of are. But, you know, everyone's got their own timetable, and I'm fine to have my own. It doesn't really bother
me. Yeah. I mean, like, I understand that mentality of feeling like you need to get it all done ASAP. You know, I feel that way in Hearthstone, you know, I kind of feel that way, right? Like it's, I need to get to a certain rank, right? So I don't mind the grindy feel when I have this kind of grand plan at the end. That being said, in WoW, at least now I play it in a much different way, right? I don't play WoW anymore to be at the bleeding edge of everything. I just kind of play to, well, right now it's fun, right? Is if it's not fun, then I will not play until something fun happens again. Right. And that's fine. I'm okay with that now.
You're all about the fun.
Yeah. I mean, like, it was really, really fun when Legion first hit to run around doing world quests every single day.
Yeah.
It's less fun now.
Yeah,
right?
It's not as fun.
I've done all of them.
Yeah.
So
if I have to pick up one more squirrel in freaking forest land.
The squirrels are fine. I don't understand why everyone hates on the squirrels.
Hate the squirrels.
If you stop though for a week or two, right? You stop doing that, and all you do is PvP. Then the next time you do world quest, it's fun again, right? So that's, you know, that's the thing. It's like I'm just not now, and you probably won't ever be again in World of Warcraft, like a bleeding edge player. I just won't be.
Yeah, I don't need it
and
to
I,
be.
I'm
that.
Okay with that.
Yeah, part of it is just knowing that the game. It's like Legion almost did this to me. It's like Legion said, look at all this new stuff. There's so much rad new things to do. It's such a complete package. Come on in here and play it. But it was also this message that sent that they sent saying, hey, this is here to stay. We're clearly interested in making the game better and in some big ways. So quit worrying about it. You can just come in here when you want to come in here. And it's cool. And we know there's other games for you to play out there, but this one's always here. And we got a bunch of other games too we make here at Blizzard, and those are pretty rad too. So feel free to be playing those. Like, there's just a more, it feels less urgent to make sure I'm just, oh, got to put the foot to the metal and get the grindstone on and, you know, and all that. As much as I just hammered through this content during the first month when it came out, that was more about me enjoying it and less about me feeling like I was keeping up with the Joneses.
Yeah, you didn't feel like you had to do it. You just felt like you wanted to. Every day you're like, I want to log in and do this.
Yeah.
And I have not reached a point in this, and I've heard some people say that they're starting to get to the fatigue point, and wow, because they really did go hard, right? Mm-hmm. And we might have reached that point where, you know, yeah, this patch has been out for a while. This expansion's now been out for, you know, a decent amount of time.
Sure.
So this is the life cycle now, right, of World of Warcraft. So it's like now a lot of people are waiting for the next thing. And if that's the Nighthold, then okay, cool. You know, I definitely feel like I beat the current raid content on LFR, did a lot of it on normal, a couple of random heroic encounters at the beginning and stuff, but my gear doesn't really support it. And you know, I'm kind of ready for the next raid, at least as far as LFR is concerned for me. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm not like burnt out or anything, but I'm definitely kind of like, okay, I feel like I did what I needed to do. Mm-hmm. Now I'm ready for whatever the next thing is. Yeah. I think that's just the life cycle we have to deal with now, sure, in World of Warcraft.
Sure.
I think, and sure, there's probably people listening right now like, what are you talking about? You guys have to have all the stuff. And,
no, we don't.
No,
I think, honestly, I think this time with this expansion, it's been kind of the point where a lot of people are coming to that same, I don't know, place as gamers and WoW gamers. It's kind of like, I'm going to play that. It's what we were talking about last episode, Scott, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to play when we want to play. And if we don't have that urge right now, it's not like it was from 2004 to 2009.
Right.
Right. When we were, WoW was the game and it was everything we did and we would play all the time and like we would can't wait to get home to play WoW. And it was, you know, it can be when the expansion launches or when there's a cool patch coming and we'll get in and out of it like we do in Diablo.
Sure.
But I think a lot of people who might have looked at this and said, well, it's not the same anymore. And it isn't the same. But some people might have looked at it and thought, it's not the real WoW. Now might think, yeah, it's fine. It doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
This point.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with it. And I just feel unabashed about it. It's fine. It's like, it's the way I want to play and I can't. And they've been very upfront.
We don't
clear.
Feel guilty about it anymore.
You're right. There's more guilt. There's no reason to feel
five
guilt.
5 years ago, we were like, oh, but I should be playing. It's my game.
Yeah. And you know, obviously there's the financial pressure of I'm subscribing to this thing. So I should be getting value out of it. And that's a whole different conversation. Yeah. But
well, for us, it's almost a job. So
right. It's an expense. Mm-hmm. It's like paying for my power. I have to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
But also, I probably would anyway. The point is, it's like this friend that's always there. And so when things get a little slow for it, I'm okay to still help my friend out, because I know it'll always be there for me. But also, they've been very upfront about the content for this for this expansion coming at a regular click, and we are getting that. They've held to that. So it's not like I'm in Warlords fatigue where I'm like, there's nothing. It's a desert ahead of this. Like, they just weren't doing anything past a certain point.
Well, we're not that far into it.
No.
Let's talk about it in a year.
That's right? A good point. Well, we need to revisit that when we get there for sure. But all signs point to they're on the constant treadmill on this one, which makes me happy. Anyway, so that's going on. So I found a video actually via MMO Champion. It was a total random encounter. I didn't even know this was going to be posted there that I thought was pretty interesting. It's about the stealth sound. I love this kind of like archaeological stuff in video games. The stealth sound that you hear when either a mob or another player on a PvP realm like Patrick plays on. Do you still play PvP realm? I can't remember.
Yeah.
When you hear sound when you know that there's like a stealthy near you. I just always assume.
It's funny. I do it more like.
Well, here.
I'll play it for you.
Let me see if I can find. Crap. I have to wait for YouTube to.
I feel like it's even closer to like a cymbal sound, though, than both of you guys. Like what you guys just did sounds like. Like a space door opening.
A little bit. Hold on. Yeah. Okay, here we go. This is this British guy talking about it.
You know, in World of Warcraft, when you're just minding your own business, killing a few mobs, happily questing away, and you hear this noise.
Okay, that's,
yeah. Oh my God, that's do one. I know.
So, you know, everyone does. You hear that sound, and you immediately go, oh, if it's a quest, you're like, those are the invisible tigers I have to kill. Great, there's one near me, or there's a pirate around here. Or if you're in a PvP realm or in PvP, you hear that and you know that there's a rogue behind you or whatever. What's fascinating about this video, and I recommend people go check it out on Eurogamer's YouTube site, is it was, they found this out through somebody at Blizzard, it was an artifact of kind of a problem, of a mistake, and they just kept it. So what this was is when you stealth, you notice if you're a rogue and you stealth for the first time, you stealth just to go into stealth mode, you hear the same sound. What happens is, because of the way these servers work, when you're in a certain proximity of me, Patrick, and let's say you're the rogue and I'm not, you're being populated in my area in real time. In other words, it's not like you just existed in the world like we do now. You're in France, I'm over here, and I just know where you are. You had to materialize so that the client says, oh, there's a stealthy behind me, and I need that information in a really rapid way. So over the internet, I get this information, and that includes your stats, your gear, your visual appearance, all this sort of stuff, your name over your head, the guild you belong to, whatever it is that's displaying, plus any buffs that are currently applied to you. And so the reason that you hear that sound is it's the last sound you make when you're full ready to go as a stealthy person. So when you appear,
it's the sound of the stealth, but it, because the world generates the character, mm-hmm, at that moment when you're supposed to see it. Before that, your client is not aware that it's there, so it has to be generated entirely at that moment, right?
Right, in real time, right then. So it was originally like an artifact, like we hate that. It would be like, it'd be like if I said, hi, I'm Scott, or no, if the last thing I said was, and then Patrick walks up to me just close enough to hear me, and now I materialize and go, like, it doesn't.
Yeah, well, yeah, not exactly. It's just that the is kind of your part of your the buffs that you of the conditions. In this case, it's a buff of invisibility,
right,
that your character has. So it has to create your character. And since your character's one of your character's characteristics is, then it has to generate that sound. Makes complete sense.
The metaphor is more true than you know. But anyway. It's a really fun little look at that kind of thing. And I love that stuff. I love finding out like, oh, the reason you can't fly in Silver Moon is these reasons. And the reason you can't do this is this other stuff, or you can do this is other stuff. I love that. So if you want to go learn a little bit about that weird sound that you just heard, head on over to Eurogamer's YouTube page. And it's one of the latest ones up there called The Mistake That Made WoW Stealth Work. And, they also talk about the gameplay implications, like how important a sound cue is to your reaction and why that matters in actual gameplay when it comes to stealth mechanics, and why stealthies have to have weaknesses like proximity and other characters encounter it and stuff like that. So anyway, it's really interesting. People should go check it out. That's all we have for a while. There's not a lot going on, guys. It's just, World of Warcraft kicking along. They got cows now. It's a good time over there. So go check it out. Heroes of the Storm got one of my favorite new characters ever, Zul'jin. He's a real bastard, a real dick, turns out, personality-wise. I think he should go to lunch every day with Alarak, because they're both buttholes. And he is really, really funny and really well-written and really well-implemented into Heroes of the Storm. Zul'jin, of course, they're very important troll character from World of Warcraft. If Terpster was here, he could tell me all sorts of backstory on why he matters and why his story counts. But anyway, I don't know enough about him from that regard. I just know that I fought a lot of his dudes in the forest, and they all pissed me off back in vanilla. So, point is, he's great. His hair is awesome. He says some really funny stuff. He uses axes and constantly asks you if you want axe, and the answer is always an emphatic yes. It's finally a ranged carry in the game after a long time without a new one. Characters like Vala and Jim Raynor and others would be sort of in that class, and it's been a long time since we've had a guy like that.
He is ranged.
Hucking axes over and over like this. You can't see me, but the chat room can. So he's all about range. He's all about his trait, which is Berserk. And how that works is, as your health goes down, your damage goes up. So it's a little like Gul'dan, in that Gul'dan sacrifices life for power, except in this case it's just like you're throwing the axes faster and they're hitting for more damage on your auto attacks, when you go down in life. So if you're around 50% life, that's a good place to be. But that's a challenge, right? You don't want to get blown up by somebody. So he also has a regen, which regens health. And he has, I forget what his W does. Oh, his W does this crazy arcing skill shot that basically shoots this circular motion of his axes that will stun and slow. And, of course, you can talent those out to do different things. Bottom line, he's great. One of my favorite new heroes in a very long time. If you're not playing heroes, or if you are playing heroes, you already know this. If you're not, very much consider Zul'jin as a purchase. He's real, real good.
You know, yeah. I really want, I think it would be great if we had someone who knew League of Legends to ask how crazy they get with the characters in that game. I'm really wondering if that kind of thing, which basically you didn't talk about his ultimate, Zul'jin's ultimate, which one of them is, you know, lots of damage, whatever, but his ultimate allows him to get all the way down to one health. I mean, he can't die. So the lowest he will get is one health. And at that level, he will do a lot more damage, obviously, since he has that berserker trait. And it's a crazy mechanic, you know, as they continue to do in the game, they each character is so different. It's really fun to sort of explore what you can do with these different ways of approaching the design of each character. I'm really wondering if this is hero-specific or if every MOBA has those crazy characters that, you know, one, like Abathur is the other great example. Mm-hmm. You just control and, you know, you just do stuff on another character in your team, etc.
Generally speaking, so we've had this discussion recently on the Core podcast where if you want to get in-depth hero stuff, people can check that out over at frogpants.com/core. But here's the deal about that. In League and in Dota and others, they have plenty of really cool characters that do really cool things and have really interesting mechanics. That is absolutely true. What they don't have, for the most part, is the freedom to be a little bit weird and out there. And by that, I mean Lost Vikings, where you control three characters and in theory could lane three lanes at the same time with one character. Or Abathur, where he sits in the, you know, the Nexus or somewhere near that and does crazy amounts of support and help for his team just by sending little minions out. Or shielding people or improving their health or buffing their damage or whatever. Like, that's just weird. Gul'dan, or sorry, Cho'Gall is what I meant to say. Cho'Gall, a character that is a two-headed ogre that you are controlling with two people. You and your friend. One's doing tanking, one's doing damage, and somehow that works. Like, that's what they do better than any of the other MOBAs. And you can argue the merits of the MOBAs and which one's better or whatever, but one of the things I love about Heroes is their willingness to say, what if, and then also bring in characters that are not only the real characters that thing's based on. So you're going to get Malfurion, not Forest Prophet or whatever.
Right, but mechanics-wise, they do have these kinds of weird trade health for damage and stuff like
that. Oh, sure, sure. I mean, to different degrees, obviously, but...
If you play Dota 2, I mean, there's you know, 100 plus champions or whatever, right? So there's obviously some weird stuff in there, but Scott's right. Like, there definitely isn't things like what they've been trying with Heroes. Yeah. And I think one thing that makes that possible, though, is the fact that you've got all these different maps and the team leveling and all that kind of stuff means you can tinker a little bit more within that framework, because in a MOBA like Dota, if you... Like, there are heroes, you know, who are support who don't do the last hitting and all that kind of stuff, but they still need to be leveling up XP. So they still, like, essentially by default, every hero has to be able to sit in a lane, right? And get XP. So you can't have a hero that just doesn't do that. Otherwise, you just fall way behind, right? Right. That's just part of the game mechanic.
They also really don't have...
Did away with that.
They have supportive characters in those other games, but they're not the same as, like, support here. Like, a Morales would be useless in Dota or League. Not useless, but there's nobody just hanging around doing mostly healing. There's nobody who does, you know, weird kind of...
Support characters oftentimes in those games are not necessarily healing, because players themselves have, like, healing options, right? You can buy potions and stuff.
Right.
A lot of times what they do is they do things like stun and initiate fights and, you know, slow people or, you know, buff other people, things like that.
Or they're really good junglers or whatever. Yeah. Like they spend all their time.
But the most like it's a different world because you have things like carries and stuff, which you kind of could say you have in Heroes, but not necessarily. Right. Like it's not the same. Right. You could say that Raynor is our carry. He does all the damage. Right. But in a MOBA like Dota, you actually buff one guy up, right? Really, really strong. You make this guy really strong, and then he's the one who does all the damage. And everybody else is kind of there to help initiate or support that character in the fight. Right? Yeah, but he's the one who's like killing everybody.
He's like your quarterback or whatever. In Heroes, it doesn't.
When it doesn't
work
like the same mechanics wise in Heroes, they can do stuff like that. But that's not to say that other MOBAs don't have a lot of cool innovation with their heroes. It's just
guaranteed.
It's not the same kind.
Yeah, what Blizzard has done with the kind of base game is allow to kind of get a little wild and weird, right? Yep. And some people like it, some people don't.
Yeah, it's what I love about it. So it's difficult for me. I mean, having played the other MOBAs a little bit, it's just not even a comparison. It just speaks to my playstyle. Obviously, there are 100 million League players that either beg to differ or, you know, are happily playing their game. And I totally get that. But
they're just completely different games to me. Like, I know Heroes has started to really kind of embrace its MOBA-ness, you know, more recently.
Yeah.
And stop trying to be like, we're the different one, because it didn't necessarily work, I guess, from a marketing standpoint.
Yeah.
You know, obviously League is a huge game. And I think League is a pretty good game, actually. It's quite a fun game. If you guys haven't tried it, you should try it. The community aside, obviously, you know, you could talk about the toxicity of the community, but I think that's just gaming culture, to be honest, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's like a hot point of that culture. It's like a specific sort of, it's like molten lava. There are some places where it's coming out in a volcano, and there's other places where it's dormant, and it's a bit of a volcano over there, but yeah.
Sure, sure. And you know, I've tried to get a little bit more into League, and it is a tough... Yeah, it is a tough nut to crack because there's so much to learn, right? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, a lot of stuff you learn doesn't necessarily translate from Heroes, right? It's mechanics-wise, like game mechanics, clicking the button and the mouse and whatever and doing that kind of stuff. Like, that sure does. But there's all these other weird things going on.
Yeah.
So, you know, they don't one-to-one transfer. But that also means, like, they don't one-to-one transfer as far as what you can do in the game.
Yeah.
So
they provide a very different experience, and they're also tied a lot to the original mod, and things like last hit and individual leveling are absolutely not something that is in Heroes.
Abathur the last hit. Yeah. That hero would just not exist.
Right. Exactly. There is no last hit for Abathur. What's he going to do? Have one of his bugs hit you the last time and then get the gold? Like that stuff doesn't translate. So in a lot of ways, by avoiding some of the oldest conventions of MOBAs, they gave themselves room to breathe and do new things. But them kind of embracing their roots a little bit more recently, like you mentioned, I think is actually good for the game and good for its growth. And also the crossover
let
event.
Let it be what it is, right? But also let it be what it isn't too, right? So
it's totally fine. Let it be.
It's like a Zen approach at this, right?
Let it be, as the Beatles would say. Was it them that said let it be? Yeah, let it be.
Yeah.
But also, I would say
Paul McCartney specifically, but yeah.
I would say that this Overwatch crossover event they did was really, really good for the game. There was a ton of people that came over and stayed, hearing that both internally and externally about how that event went with the Genji skin, and a lot of activity on places like Reddit from like old League players are like, yeah, I left League to play Overwatch and didn't really know or think much about Heroes until this crossover, and I didn't know this had all these things happening. I'm way into this, and now they've got new fans. So I think that they're being smart, as smart as they can be about that stuff. Hearthstone. So let's talk about, and as far as Diablo stuff in there, it's just Diablo, you know, portraits and crap. So
isn't there just like cosmetic stuff or something? Yeah. Or is there any?
It's as far as I know, it's portraits, and I think that's it. Like during Christmas.
Wait, in Heroes?
In Heroes. What am I missing?
No, there's a brawl.
Oh, the brawl! I forgot.
Oh, the brawl! Yeah.
I really liked it.
It's good. You know, it's good. I totally forgot.
It's basically ARAM, right?
Yeah, ARAM on a new map, and I would actually argue it's a better ARAM map than the one that was already in there. So.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to get in there and do that.
Yeah. I forgot. That's maybe how you get
on the stream. That'll be. I'll just do like all the Diablo stuff and all the games. That'll be.
That's a good idea. That's actually a great stream lineup for anybody to do. And I did the Diablo stuff, which I'll talk about here in a bit. But I think that stuff was great. Hearthstone has their little brawl tribute thing. Yep. How is that? Is it good?
So basically, you play against the Dark Wanderer, it's a hero that starts with three secrets in play.
And if I only uncovered two, so nothing happened. Do you need to uncover?
Yeah, you have to uncover all three secrets to enter the cow level. Mm. Yeah. And so, but here's the thing: they're not secrets. They're not like hunter, mage, paladin secrets, right? They're their own thing. So the best way to do this is to create a deck that has like a little bit of everything. So just go in and make your deck doesn't have to be good. It's not hard to beat, right? So go in and make a deck that has like some stealth minions, some spell power guys, some charge guys, some taunt guys. Just kind of put all the keywords into a deck. And then there's other ways that the spells can or the secrets can get triggered. One is like when both players reach 15 HP, it might go off. And it's randomized which ones you get. So you might have to play it a few times to actually get the cow level to work. One of them is when you die, you don't actually die. One is when you get to 9 cards in hand.
When you yourself die.
Yeah, when you die, not the other guy. Yeah, so if you let the other guy kill you, it might trigger the last secret if you can't find out what the last secret is. Mm. Once that happens, a portal to the cow level comes out. And then on the very next turn, on the beginning of the Dark Wanderer's turn, they cast Twisting Nether and reset the board, go back to 30 life, change their hero power, and start casting nothing but Hellbow Vines. And it's pretty fun. There's actually, if you can pull this off, you can actually steal the portal, and you become the Cow King. So you can actually do that. It's really tricky because it's not a targetable thing, the portal. So you have to like get Sylvanas on the board, then trigger the last secret, and then somehow kill your Sylvanas while before their turn when they Twisting Nether, because that just removes everything. You got to kill your Sylvanas somehow and then get the portal to switch to your side. Then the next turn that the Twisting Nether goes off and you become the Cow King. So, it's pretty cool stuff going on. It's quite fun. I don't know if it has a huge amount of replayability outside of trying to become the Cow King yourself. Mm-hmm. It's definitely something if you haven't gotten the... Because you get a card back just for playing it, whether you trigger the cow level or not. Mm-hmm. But, and the card back is sweet. So definitely go in there, get the card back. But if you want to like really kind of experience it, make sure you make a deck that's got a bunch of random stuff in it so you can trigger all the secrets. Pretty cool.
Yeah, that seems all right.
Yeah.
I might want to get in there and do that. And no reason. Yeah,
you should definitely do it, Scott. Like it's something that you would enjoy as a more casual player, I think, of Hearthstone. Mm-hmm. Because, again, it's not very difficult. You should be able to build a deck that can beat it. But like you don't even really need to beat it to beat it. I don't know. It's just fun.
Yeah.
It's just fun and wacky and weird. And definitely go ahead and give it a shot.
Well done. Awesome. Diablo's actual event, where you'd think the biggest event would be. It is, I think.
Probably.
It's called the Darkening of Tristram. Here's how it works. You get in, you find where it is on the map. You can find it by just opening up your map and you'll see what portal it's near. It doesn't tell you exactly, but you go to one of the portal
spots. Basically, you go to Old Tristram to the ruins.
Mm-hmm. And there should be there's a portal
doing
somewhere.
It now.
Oh, you might be doing it now. Well done.
Maybe.
So what appears is this pixelated looking, early 90s looking portal. You click it. It takes you in there. And for those who didn't experience this on the PTR, you are suddenly presented with the game's engine sort of retrofitted to look like the crappy old engine of Diablo 1. You can only face 8 directions, although that's way less limiting than it sounds. It's just a kind of an animation thing. Everything's
honestly
pixelated. Sounds are different.
It's just Diablo.
Interface is different. Yeah, it's Diablo. I mean, you're just playing
Diablo.
It's
just Diablo. It's Diablo 3 that looks worse. that's it. There is nothing very... I mean, I haven't gotten to the bosses yet, but I don't expect that all of a sudden because you're facing the butcher that looks a little bit less good. It's going to become incredible.
Now hold that thought, because that's what I thought until I got to the butcher. And it is two things. One, it's not the same butcher model. It's a different model. It's and it's modeled after the original butcher. He looks like this really pissed off, angry, horrible creature. He will not be stunned or frozen by any of your stun or frozen moves. And he's hard as shit. And he hits really hard, too. So he is all the things he was in Diablo 1. He is a shocking bit of business. And so you will be surprised by that when you run into him. Okay. I really liked it. I don't think it's anything crazy innovative. It's more of a trick and a nod, and that's great. I think it's a fun little nostalgic trip, and I actually kind of liked the feel of it. It felt kind of cool to hear the old sounds and to see some of the visuals sort of mimic what it was like back in the day. That was really fun to watch. It does.
Oh, shit. He's here.
Yeah. Okay. He's here. Let's see in real time what happens to you. See how it goes there.
Well,
what torment are you on?
I am torment 8. Okay. And he's dead.
Oh, geez. Really?
Yeah.
I had him on 10 and he kicked my A for a while. But maybe, who knows? It was with my wizard and maybe I don't have the kind of. What, who were you playing? What was your main there?
Or maybe I'm better. I'm on my wizard.
Oh, damn it. Maybe. You may have better gear right now. All right. Well, I found him challenging for whatever reason. He hit really hard. Yeah.
So
and it was.
The thing is,
trouble.
It's kind of unexpected. Kind of unexpected the way it happened.
Just like Diablo
1. I'm not
going
to say more.
It happened like that in Diablo 1. You suddenly opened a door and he went, and you were, your
okay,
whole life
well,
was bad.
Spoiled it.
Yeah, yes. Well, I mean, that's how it works. So it's, I think it's kind of cool. And
yeah, no, it's cool. I mean, it's cool. It's fun. It's just not anything amazing. I don't think people should expect something incredible. It's just a fun way to celebrate it.
Yeah, that's it. But that's a fair way to say it.
That's what all this stuff is, honestly. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You know, I didn't, and I don't think that Blizzard should be spending huge amounts of time working on an event that's lasting, you know, a couple weeks. So.
Sure. I mean, I'm impressed with what it is for how little they had to put into it. But I would be, I mean, like I said, I would much rather be playing that new Necromancer more than anything right now. But I'll wait.
Blizzard's got stuff to do outside of this.
They
so
do. They do.
Do that stuff.
I mean, honestly, the thing I'm getting the most out of this this event is just how fun Diablo is. I'm just reminded once again, like,
Diablo rules.
Exploding millions of it's such a good game.
I know. It got, that's what game. It did to me is I ended up doing the event, and then I went right back to like, all right, where am I with this guy? Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to go play around. You know, like, it is this. I love returning to it. I love that I can return to
it. When I was sick and I got back into Diablo, I went and found like my old barbarian who had like one set piece.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, how does this guy not have all the set pieces? And I went and started running stuff and, you know, built a new little, build for him and stuff. It was great.
Yeah,
it was super fun.
It feels good. That's a good game.
Yeah, I had all this sweet gear that I'd looted from, you know, gotten on my other characters. So I was able to kind of update him a little bit.
Yeah. And twink him out a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Sweet.
Yeah, I like that too. Game's great. Very curious about the future of it, and we'll continue to talk about it as it comes. In Overwatch,
it's another game like WoW, where I just kind of feel like I'll just always have this to do if I want.
Yeah,
that's
I'll
kind
be
of
sitting here.
Yeah,
if I need.
It's kind of reassuring somehow. It's like it will always be here for me.
It's here for you
until the servers die.
No matter what happens, we could listen tomorrow. You and I can have a fight, and you'll never hear from me again.
Money in the banana stand.
But
yeah.
There's always Diablo in the hard drive is how you look at it. Overwatch had a pretty good holiday event, I thought. I have a good story about it. So I was playing the last day of the event where you could get any of the Christmas winter level skin stuff. And decided that holiday, unlike Halloween, I wasn't going to spend any money. I wanted to just get raw boxes and just, you know, see how my luck went. And the first box I opened at the beginning of the event, I got the Torbjorn Santa Claus thing. And then between that, all other boxes between that and the final day of the event, all I got were sprays and voice stuff that were holiday related. No additional skins that were holiday.
Yeah, I got lots of sprays.
Yeah.
Lots of sprays.
So final day, final game, playing with friends, having a great time, streamed it, recorded it, all that. Got to the end. I'm like, oh, all right, it's 11 o'clock. I'm getting out of here. I got a show in the morning. We'll see you guys later. Oh, wait, I have a loot box. I forgot my last one. I click it, opens up. There's freaking Winston's Yeti. And I about pooped my pants. I was so excited.
What?
And he's the one I wanted most because
that's the one I wanted.
He's the one you can carry through the rest of the year without feeling like you're walking around with a Santa Claus skin. You know what I mean? Sure. Because he's just a big ice man, ice creature thing, and it works across the season. So it's not like a Christmas only thing. So I was blown away that I got that as my very last box, like an hour before the server shut down the Christmas event or whatever it was. It was probably more.
Yeah,
than
I didn't get any of the cool stuff. I got one Christmas skin that I just don't even care about. I can't even remember what it is now. It was one of those ones. It was like, yeah, this is not going to work the rest of the time.
So I got all excited. It's up on my YouTube channel at youtube.com/ScottJohnson. You can see my childish reaction to getting a Yeti skin.
It's funny. I realize how much I play Overwatch in these times because basically I got all of the skins.
Of course you did.
And I think almost all of them.
Did you buy any boxes or just from
play? No. Yeah. I bought nothing. And for the Halloween one, I was at 100. So I you know, went over to 100 and got, you know, the lots of additional boxes because it was easier to level up. But for this one, they changed it. So when you go over, you don't even get anything. So, I mean, you don't, the number of XP you need to get a new level is the same. It's constant. Mm-hmm. And I still got like Zenyatta, Winston. I got Tracer. I have so much credits that I bought a couple of epic ones, or not epic, but Pharah and Reaper. So I basically have almost everything, and it's just I'm playing so much Overwatch.
Gotta catch them all, man. Gotta get them all in there. That game's like many a weird skin Pokemon is how that game plays sometimes. anyway, an Oasis came out that's set in Iraq. It is a cool map. It's
not really Iraq. It's just in the Arabian Desert.
Oh, I thought it was Iraq specifically. No,
nope.
I thought the story on that was this was part of Iraq or something. I don't know why I thought I heard that. I like that. I like the idea that it's like a optimistic future of a pretty war-torn place. I think that seemed kind of like a nice, positive idea. But anyway, it's cool. It's a command and control map. It's currently on the Brawl, so you can see it without having to wait for it to be in the rotation randomly. And what I liked about it was it's got something in common with Ilios. One of the control points is a hole in the middle of the floor, except when you fall in it, you don't die. So if you get yanked in there by, you know, Roadhog or something, you're not going to die. It's actually got a health pack down there, and you can run out and come back up to the fight. But I like the dynamic of that delay that it creates and takes somebody sort of out of the fight for a little bit. It's pretty fun to mess with that.
It can be fun if you can jump back out. You can go in there, get the health back, jump back out, depending on which character you are. And that can create an interesting bit of mechanic as well.
Yeah.
Did you play with the jump pad?
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. It reminded me of, I was like back in Quake and Unreal for me, like this feeling of, oh, finally there's jump pads in my favorite shooter right now. So that's pretty cool. I like the other thing I like is I just feel like there's a lot of opportunities for D.Va, who's currently the character I'm playing the most of. I don't know why, but I'm loving her.
And because she's overpowered. Nerfs are coming, though.
Probably. It's Symmetra.
Coming. No, they're on the PTR. Good, they arrived on the PTR yesterday. She's getting nerfed. Kind of hard.
Who? Wait, D.Va is? How hard?
So basically, she's turning 200 of her armor into 200 health. Oh, so it's going to be much easier for characters that have a lot of small projectiles like Tracer, Reaper, Soldier to get her down.
Great.
So that's happening. And also her damage is getting nerfed a little bit, just a tiny bit. And the other thing is it's not D.Va, but the Roadhog's hook is getting nerfed and not nerfed, but it's going to be more like you're not going to hook people around corners anymore. Although there is another thing that's happening that might help you because you can pull people into a hole more easily. Mm-hmm. And then Anna's biotic grenade is getting nerfed as well.
So what's happening, Symmetra? She should be getting nerfed, right? She better be.
I would hope so, but no, apparently it's not on the program.
Because guess what you can do with her now? You can generate a shield that keeps everybody alive, or you can do that other shield thing where you send a shield out in front of everybody, basically create a floating Reinhardt, which is also cool. And then if you want to kill people, just run around and wave your gun in the air and don't really have to aim at anybody because they'll just get caught in it. Gosh dang it, she kills me.
I think they're going to have to do something about either about the range or the damage. Like the ramp up, once you've used it on someone for 3 seconds, the amount of damage she does is ungodly. And if they die and you switch to another target, the damage is still there, mm-hmm. At the same level. And the range is so far that when you're in the middle of it, if you manage to ramp up, you switch from target to target to target, and they melt like in 2 seconds. I think they're going to have to do something about that. But, yeah.
She's nuts right now, man. Yeah. But that's okay. She was terrible before, so they really improved her. Now they just need to scale it back a
terrible.
Little bit. She was like a no pick.
She was good on certain maps. And yeah. When you're playing defense.
And then a no pick on every other map.
But then people would always, you know, play her when it didn't make sense, you know?
Yeah.
It was like sniping or whatever, where people always just like insist, this is what I do. Yeah. Sniper. Well, that's not helping us right now.
That's why we're losing, idiot. Anyway, Oasis is cool. You guys should check that out. It's time for us to get to some emails, or a couple of them, I think. Oh, one. Not a couple, one.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the Town Crier.
All right, let's do Town Crier time. This is where we take your emails and your calls. Today, it's an email, and it is just one because we read that one earlier from Steve. It's a question from Drumgar in Dalaran server. He has a solution, a rep grind solution, because we've been talking about rep grind on and off on the show, how it could be improved and so on. So as I listened to your episode about the reputation grind, and I know there is a solution that would make everybody happy. The best way to solve this issue is to give players the option to grind reputation again if they wish. It can be an NPC in each expansion area where you can just boost your rep from your account achievement or reset your reputation for the zone so you can hit the grind again if they wish. I know this would require more work than solidifying it across the board with only one option, but I believe this will solve the issue for the most part. If not all players, since you reset the rep, or just continue on. I'm not sure what that means. Let us know what you think of this feature. I love the show. Keep up the great work. Well, our idea was do it on one character and not have to do it for the rest of them. I think I still
side
with that.
Why would anyone want to do it again?
Why would you want to do it again?
Yeah, that's the part I don't understand about his suggestion. Is like,
I don't know. Maybe there's people out there who do. I don't know.
Maybe he means to do it again.
You could pause XP in this game. So.
I think what he's suggesting is he's actually going with our idea of one character does the rep, now you're done, all your alts don't have to worry about it. But for the players who think that's part of the story or think that matters, they can go and toggle that on for an alt and say, I want to do it again.
But the thing is, like, the you don't have to do that, right? Because you can still do the quests. You just don't get the rep benefit, right?
Right.
You still get the gold and the item.
Right, which you still, yeah, that's a good point. You still get benefit from that.
Like, there's no reason to like turn that back on. Like, you could still just do the stuff.
Yeah, that's
maybe
not...
if people wanted like to have. sorry, just join in at the end. Sure. Like, if they wanted to have that same gated experience again, so they have to wait 3 weeks in Suramar.
I don't see a reason not to offer it. I'm just trying to figure, you know.
I think I'm with you.
It's my favorite thing of the show is this phantom Terpster out of nowhere.
I've been in the whole time. I've just been uncharacteristically quiet.
Wait, do you have video? No. I was looking forward to seeing the
my
the
face, the child. I don't even know if it will work. Yeah, I can try it.
Yeah, put it up.
I'm at my house.
Chat room's going to want to see this.
Hello.
Oh, my gosh. He's like
my God. It's
like a thumb. It's like a thumb. I don't like it. I don't like it. It's for charity.
Are you growing it back?
There you go. I'm going to turn it off now. I don't want to see it.
All right.
Oh, my God.
I was actually thinking about doing that myself. I don't have quite the beard that you had.
Yeah.
But,
I'm thinking about it. My son and I and my daughter are all considering head shaving for a cancer benefit.
Do it.
But we're terrified of it because I think I'll be okay. I think Nick will be fine. My daughter is terrified because, you know.
It takes a long time to grow head hair of that length.
It does.
For a lady, that's a couple of years before she'll be back to having. Well, actually, Carter doesn't have that long hair.
Carter's got short hair.
Yeah, well,
so
sort of.
She should be fine. Do it.
Sort of. Her hair's grown out quite a bit. But I don't know. We're thinking
about... I didn't do it for charity. Mine was done because of charity. Like, I don't really feel like anyone gave extra money to see me shave. And I think having now shaved, a lot of people would have given money for me not to have shaved. So there you go.
Did you find any growth?
Two competing buckets, right? One was like, if this bucket's bigger, I'll shave it, or save it.
Like it. Yeah.
Did you find any weird markings or like weird growths or like moles that have multiplied or anything?
No. I was lucky like that. I mean, I did it in stages over a course of a few days as well. So I lived with like kind of gradually receding beard.
Yeah.
And at the end, I had a bit of a Charlie Chaplin mustache.
We call that a Hitler mustache most of the world.
Well,
yeah.
Again, yes. I mean, to celebrate, I was playing Pirate Warrior on Hearthstone, which is literally Hitler.
You dumbed down the game a little bit and you played that terrible non-meta deck Pirate Warrior.
Exactly. Okay. I managed to go
a real sacrifice you made there.
I think it was 20 to 13 in the space of like an hour. Uh-huh. It's just obscene. It's ridiculous. good fun for me, less so for people up against it, but yeah.
Yeah, wow. Well, all right, well, I'm glad you're here. Do you before we go, because we're pretty much done, do you have any of
Diablo
this...
anniversary is great. Yeah. I don't know, what have you spoke about?
Well, what do you think of all those events? Have you done them all? What do you think of them?
I don't know if you noticed, right, but I thought Blizzard were really smart. They picked up on this really niche little joke about there being a cow level.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, how they did it,
I think it was subtle.
But that's the thing. That's what I appreciate the most about it. Is I loaded up each anniversary event thinking, I wonder what. Nah, they won't make the cow level. Maybe they could. If they were really insightful, they might just come up with something about the cow level. Mm. And you know what? Mm. More often than not, there's a secret cow level.
Kind of across the board almost. Great. Yeah, just about. Yeah. You know, it's one of their longstanding. This is a company who 20 years ago nearly invented the idea of Easter eggs in games, like the way you could click their units in Warcraft multiple times and get them to say something funny or some weird hidden level in Diablo. This was kind of unheard of back then. Not entirely, but for the most part. Now it's everywhere. Every game everywhere has something. People are trying to find Frog Fractions 3 now that they finally found out where 2 is. Like, it's just that kind of video game world we live. So they're just playing off something they kind of helped invent, you know, like the modern.
I like it.
Yeah, I think it's fine.
Like I said, it's good. And I think the retro vision thing is fun in Diablo. The Hearthstone Brawl was okay. I like it how people were kind of a bit pissed off they didn't get a pack. Mm. They're like, oh, I just got a card back. Is that it? but it was fun to play through and multiple times trying to get that cow level to trigger. Or even if you were, you know, creative, becoming the cow king yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There is replayability in that one. I think probably the Hearthstone one had the most replayability kind of almost baked into it, whereas the others are a little bit more sort of like try it once and then you kind of got everything, move on, which is fine.
Yeah. I was going to ask you if you have any love or reason to talk more about Zul'jin and his entry into the Nexus, if you had, from a lore perspective, since you're kind of our lore guy, do you?
Well, isn't that sad, isn't it? Not really. I mean, I don't know what you said, really.
I don't know anything about his backstory, like nothing.
So he's from, what was he in, like, was he in Warcraft 2? But we obviously Warcraft had him 2, was it in Cataclysm or one before?
What was before?
Lich King. When it was.
Lich King, right?
Was it Lich King?
I thought it
was. Anyway, we went up and we did the dungeon, Zul'aman. Mm-hmm. It was Burning Crusade, wasn't it?
Oh, maybe.
I think it was Burning
Crusade.
Oh,
you know what? You're right, because I kept trying to go back there to get that tiger that was the rare drop, the mount.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that now.
It was the bear, though, as well, wasn't it? It was the first, the time runs and stuff with the bear.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, he's a troll. I mean, you know, he's dead. It's fine.
He's really a troll. Like, literally,
whole kind of one-armed troll, kind of looking cool.
Yeah.
He ultimately was a bit of a douche.
Such a douche in his new incarnation.
I haven't played him in Heroes.
He's really fun, but he's a dick. He's just a dick. He's constantly like just saying mean stuff to everyone. He's like Alarak. He's just a jackass, and it's great. It's perfect. They really nailed him. So anyway, people should be playing that. I'm telling you, Zul'aman or Zul'jin, the new troll you're gonna love to hate.
Zul something, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that. All right. I guess that's all we have. The instance at gmail.com is where that email address came to or came from, or that email came from, is what I meant to say. So use that address, send us emails, and let us know what you're up to. 801-471-0462 is the phone number. Before we get out of here, Dills is going to stream all the Diablo stuff tonight. What? Anything else?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. We'll see how I've already streamed the Hearthstone stuff, but I haven't done like the Darkening of Tristram and all that stuff. That'd be a good thing to do on the stream tonight. So we check that out, twitch.tv/WillyDillsSF. Nice. But then also, the one thing I do want to pimp is the brand new podcast with Justin Robert Young, all about the wonderful world of wrestling, called 1-900 Wrestling. And you can find it on iTunes now. It's up there. There's a Patreon and everything. Me and Jerry are going to be at Royal Rumble, and then if everything works out right on our Patreon, I will be on the road to WrestleMania, and we will both be front row at WrestleMania.
Nice. So. I am very interested to see what that experience is like for you guys.
That's the dream.
It's the dream, but we need a little help to get there. So you know, everyone. But if you're into wrestling, definitely go check it out. It's a lot of fun. We're not gonna sit there and bash the latest Raw. That's not what the point of the show is.
Right.
The point is just to celebrate the fun world of wrestling.
Right. Yeah. I'm gonna try to.
And I don't even watch Raw anymore. I watch SmackDown.
Right? Oh, okay. So take that, Raw fans. I was curious if I called 1-900 Wrestling, would I actually get somewhere?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But we were trying to buy it. Weird thing, it's hard to buy a 1-900 number now. It's just not really a thing anymore.
Yeah, so, it's changed, right?
It's totally we true. Like couldn't even figure out how to do it.
I'm gonna try.
We want to buy this phone number, but it's not that simple.
I'm gonna try it real quick. Let's see what happens. Let's put it on speaker.
But it was, I mean, the thing, the joke is, if you watch wrestling in like the 80s, every wrestler had like a 1-900 number that you could call.
Yeah, that's all changed now. That used to be like a thing Captain for lots of stuff.
For each wrestler, what would you get when you called it?
You would hear a wrestler tell you what happened in wrestling.
Yeah.
Hey, brother, you won't believe what the Macho Man did to me.
Pretty much. That's pretty much exactly what it was.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah.
You can,
but it would cost you $2.99 for the first minute, 99 cents every additional
minute.
That's
less awesome.
When I was a kid, you could do this with Star Wars stuff. Like, I even have a clip of one.
Yeah, you can do it with everything.
I ran into Ben Kenobi and Luke Skywalker. I had myself a pretty good little operation.
Yeah.
They wanted to ride to Alderaan, and they're willing to pay enough, so I did.
So you call, and you get, like, Harrison Ford recordings.
You call, you just hear Harrison Ford talking about pretending to actually be Han Solo.
Yeah. Like, now you can get those, like, the Hoff can send you a video birthday message or some of that. You can pay enough money. Yeah.
You can get like, Hasselhoff. a guy in Nigeria to record you a video.
Yeah.
Like, I bet if you pay enough money, you can get Terpster to send you a birthday message.
Sure. Aww. No, I'm afraid not. Patrick, I'm far too unreliable. I missed the date.
I bet there's a number.
There's a figure. Maybe.
In fact,
I would do anything for money.
Are you growing this beard back? Is this beard coming back, or are you going to keep it on for a while?
Yes. The thing is it will come back as fast as my face wills it.
Okay.
And sadly, I cannot cognitively tap into that.
Yeah.
I really want to will it quicker.
Yeah.
So I'm trying everything, really, Scott.
Yeah.
I really am. I look like a 14-year-old fat lesbian woman.
Yep.
And in many ways, I'm okay with that. But as an older fat man, I feel like I'd like the beard back. Yeah.
If you push really hard and strain really hard, you'll poop your pants. So don't.
I pooped my pants. Exactly.
Yeah. Don't do that.
But then I smeared it over my chin from a distance. Looked like a beard. So, you know.
This is the worst, best story we've ever told on the show. All right. Speaking of you, do you, Dills, or Terpster, have anything you want to tell people about?
So,
Beard Watch 2017.
I have a weekend ahead of me of playing Diablo 3. Mm. Season 9's out now. Mm. So that's all I'm going to do.
That's great.
So there you go. Any commitments I had for anything else? I'm sorry.
I'm all about this and I want to do it. I want to do Season 9. Here's my question. I am always tempted to say, I don't want to play with anybody else. I just want to play with me because I love the solitary experience of the game. I know, because it's going to be slow. It's going to take me way longer.
Exactly. You need to find someone, because I'll do it like, it's out today, Season 9, so I'm going to do it tomorrow. And by then, the people I play with will already be like powering like 1,200.
Yeah.
And then I'll just level up in like an hour. It'll be sweet.
I know. But I like the solitary experience of Diablo is something I relish and like. And I'm always.
Just do that after you hit 70, though, and like let somebody do that for you.
Yeah, exactly.
You're probably right.
Then you can finally start playing the game.
Yeah, you're probably right. I always feel this way, and then I always cave and then power level, and it's probably, I'll just do it this time without feeling guilty about it. No more guilt. No more guilt in video games. That's today's theme. Hey, Patrick, anything you would like to mention before we go?
Hey, how about Pixels, an episode where Scott Johnson was officiating as well? And we covered our favorite, just came out, yeah. We covered the favorite games of 2016 and the best games or the games we're anticipating the most for 2017. It was a really fun episode. You can check that out at frenchspin.com or just look for Pixels on your favorite podcast app. You can do that right now.
To avoid spoilers, but to give some intrigue, what were your number four picks for either list?
Yeah.
What was the fourth best game of 16? What?
There might have been a couple of Blizzard games mentioned in there. Possibly.
Okay. Wow. Okay. I think I know what number one was for Patrick.
Civilization 6. He loves it.
Yeah.
He can't stop playing.
Big, huge Civ fan.
No Man's Sky. I love it.
It's too bad Diablo's Darkening of Tristram wasn't out in 2016 because it might have taken the spot.
Might have taken the spot. Diablo 1 back in charge, baby.
But maybe not.
Maybe not. Probably not is the answer. For everything else, visit frogpants.com. There's other great shows there. Follow us on Twitter, Instant Show, Scott Johnson, Willie Dills, _T, not Patrick. And a lot of good things happening in 2017, so don't miss it. Oh, and we're live every Friday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific time, and you can find it now all the time, every time, at twitch.tv/frogpants. It's all about Twitch right now, so that's where you'll see it live. Otherwise, you're getting it how you're getting it, and we thank you for that. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Patrick, for Dills, for Terpster, and for who's left. That's it. Is that everybody? That's it. That's
you.
It. And me.
That's all of us.
Again.
Wow.
And me. We'll see you next time.
Bye. Bye.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.